This is Agriculture Today.
And the lower marketings number is the very interesting one because generally or traditionally we would say a lower marketings number is a reflection of poor demand. And that is actually maybe a bit bearish.
Ted Seifried is with Zahner Ag Hedge on the latest cattle on feed report.
However, in this climate where we really don't have a whole lot of availability to animals, what that tells me is that your packer is having and continuing to struggling with sourcing the animals needed to fill the demand. It's not a reflection of demand in my book. It is a reflection of the tight supply. And to have an overall lower cattle on feed number than expected, even with a lower marketings number, I think is a bit friendly for the market.
Again, USDA numbers from last week on feed, 102% versus an average trade guess of 102.5. Placements at 90% compared to 94.5. Five in expectations, and 89.4% the expectation for marketings, USDA said 88%. Well, record beef prices are reshaping dairy decisions. It's leaving replacement heifers historically tight while giving dairy farms a stronger beef revenue stream. Cobank analyst Corey Geiger says the smallest beef cattle herd in 75 years is encouraging dairy producers to breed more cows for beef-on-dairy calves. Those calves create quicker cash flow than raising dairy replacements. The shift pushing dairy replacement inventories to their lowest level since 1978. Replacement values now moving above $3,000 per head, with some top quality heifers bringing $3,400 to $4,400 in upper Midwest auction markets. Dairy farmers also slowing cow culling to offset tight replacement supplies. Cobank says U.S. dairy herd now above 9.6 million head, the highest total in 30 years. USDA reorganizing the Foreign Ag Service, FAS, saying the move will place more trade support work closer to farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Department says the plan will create an operational support hub in Kansas City, Missouri. Much of the agency's Washington-based workforce will move in phases to Kansas City or USDA's George Washington Carver Center in Beltsville, Maryland. USDA says the change does not include a reduction in force, overseas staff, and diplomatic posts not affected. And trade policy, market access negotiations, cooperator programs, congressional work, interagency coordination, that all stays in Washington, D.C. Foreign Ag Service helps expand market access, supports export promotion, and connects U.S. ag with global buyers. U.S. covered barge fleet used for grain movement declined last year. That adds another transportation concern for farmers, elevators, exporters, and river shippers. USDA's weekly grain transportation report cites the Inland River Record Barge Fleet Profile, which shows the dry covered barge fleet totaling 12,827 vessels at the end of the year. That's down 552 vessels, or more than 4%, from the previous year. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You also receive the usual summary of economic projections. It's been the practice of this committee for participants to submit these projections, and I have encouraged my colleagues to continue to do so. I, however, have refrained from offering any projections of my own consistent with my long-held views on the SEP, at least as currently structured.
Kevin Warsh is the new chairman of the Federal Reserve.
In the median projections, real GDP rises at 2.2% this year, 2.3% next year, and total PC inflation runs at 3.6% this year, 2.3% next year. The unemployment rate stands at about 4.3%. The median participant judges that the appropriate federal funds rate to be at 3.8% at the end of this year and 3.6% at the end of next. Let me turn now to a few words on a key initiative that we're announcing today. I'm appointing a task force in each of five areas that are central to the broad conduct of monetary policy. First, Fed communications. Second, the Fed's balance sheet. Third, our use and reliance on existing data sources. Fourth, productivity and jobs in an era of transformation. And last, the Fed's inflation frameworks. These subjects are timely, consequential, and in my view, worthy of a fresh look. My colleagues and I discussed them with energy and purpose over the last couple of days. For each of these independent task forces, I'm enlisting some of the very best minds, both inside and outside the economics profession. They will be supported by subject matter specialists from our superb Fed staff. And they'll have a straightforward charge. Start with first principles. Ask hard questions. Examine current practice. Consider alternatives. And ultimately, propose next steps for policymaker consideration. Since last summer, my colleagues discussed possible improvements in the form and function of Fed communications. This new task force will build on that effort. And I expect propose some well-considered changes, including to the SEP I mentioned a few moments ago. The second task force, the one on balance sheet policy, will review the benefits and risks of the current ample reserves regime and the composition of the Fed's balance sheet. They will assess alternative frameworks for the conduct and operation of monetary policy. The third task force, the one on data, will evaluate new information sources and consider methodological changes to improve data gathering, with the aim of giving policymakers more accurate, relevant, contemporaneous, and perhaps most important, actionable information on the state of our economy. Fourth, the task force on productivity and jobs. It'll survey the pace, the reach, the economic impact of new general purpose technologies, including AI, and explore the implications for the Fed in pursuit of our employment and inflation mandates. The last task force, the one on inflation frameworks, that'll examine the drivers of inflation, first principles, and weigh the full range of ideas for delivering price stability in a changing economy. You'll hear quite a bit more about these task forces and this overall initiative in the coming weeks. Enough for now to make a simple statement. Each task force will serve an objective shared by everyone in the system, shared by everyone around that table that I sat with over the last couple of days. A Federal Reserve that is clear-eyed about its mission, fit for purpose, and focused on the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Cushing, Oklahoma is in Oklahoma, middle of the country. It is the delivery point for WTI crude oil, and WTI crude oil has started to become a lot bigger of a player on the global stage as the U.S. has become a larger exporter.
Alex Hodes is Director of Energy Market Strategy with StoneX.
Why Cushing, Oklahoma itself is very important is because it is the actual delivery point of that contract. So it is very connected in the U.S. refinery system, pipeline system as well. So it is kind of an all-encompassing area that's kind of taking in all those pipelines areas to the Gulf Coast as well. So that's why it's very important.
And what is the impact of low oil inventories?
The operational low points that people like to suggest is around 20 million barrels. Mm-hmm. And we've been around the 21 million barrel level as of the most recent inventory report. It's a reflection of how tight that storage facility is at. And you can see kind of this is very closely tied to the WTI contract. Mm-hmm. When during COVID, in 2020, you saw WTI prices go negative.
Yep.
And why that was because these inventories at Cushing itself were essentially hitting their maximum levels. So you can see what the effects that those inventories have on pricing structure. So that's why you should pay attention to that.
Now, there's something known as an operational minimum. What does that mean?
So the operational minimums, it's not essentially that the tank is empty. Mm-hmm. It's more that in order for operations to go as smoothly and kind of to maintain that status quo, that's the level in which they need to be at. So whether products can flow in and out as smoothly as it had before, that's kind of what that operational low point is. So mm-hmm. in order to maintain pressures in the tank itself and maintain that delivery reliability to refiners as well, that's kind of that 20 million level or 20 million barrel level that analysts referred to. And really what it means is that we are getting tight. The pricing there, it needs to attract more product to basically stay at home in Cushing for operations to kind of move as they had been prior to hitting those points.
And where do we see the first sign of oil market tightness?
Where it's usually reflected most is the WTI prompt spread. So that is the front month minus the latter month. Mm-hmm. And what you've seen recently actually has been quite a bit of a softening in the prompt spread itself. A lot of that has had to do with the peace deal between Iran and the U.S.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you should likely see inventories to build somewhat in Cushing, Oklahoma. So prompt spread tends to lead that. The front month of WTI is the most reactive market above all else. Mm-hmm. So you'll kind of see those go hand in hand. So when there's a lot of volatility in the prompt spread and the front month specifically, that's usually to do with those inventory levels in WTI as well. But because WTI is becoming such a global market, WTI will respond to, you know, a lot of global information before all else. So really, you'll see the front month and the prompt spread kind of lead things.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Using recently released county yield estimates and the latest marketing year price projections from the USDA, we project ARC and PLC payments will average $58 per base acre for corn, $29 per base acre for soybeans, and $47 per base acre for wheat across the U.S.
University of Illinois ag economist Nick Paulson.
Per base acre payments at these levels would result in a total of more than $9.5 billion in payments to the base acres for these three crops. Our payment estimates incorporate the revisions to the ARC and PLC programs that were made in the Farm Bill that came out of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that was passed in July of 2025. These changes increase the likelihood and size of payments, with 2025 being unique in that farmers will receive the payment from the program generating the largest payment. Moving forward, starting with 2026, producers are expected to make annual enrollment decisions between the ARC and PLC programs again. Compared to previous projections released in late 2025, estimated corn and wheat payments have declined somewhat because yields turned out better than expected and prices have improved slightly. Soybean payment estimates, however, have increased because yield and price expectations have weakened relative to our earlier forecasts. Estimated payments are widespread across the U.S. for both corn and soybeans, with ARC being the program that is expected to trigger the larger payment in most areas. Therefore, larger payments to corn and soybeans tend to occur in areas expected to have low county yields relative to their historical benchmarks. For corn, estimated payment rates above the estimated national average of $58 per base acre are concentrated in parts of the Mid-Atlantic region, the Northeast, portions of Iowa, southern Minnesota, and parts of the Pacific Northwest. For soybeans, projected payments above the national average of $29 per base acre are found in portions of the Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, and parts of the Upper Plains. Payments are also expected to be widespread across most areas for wheat base acres. However, unlike corn and soybeans, PLC is expected to provide the larger payment on wheat base in most areas. Wheat payments are projected to average about $47 per base acre, with above average payments concentrated in areas with higher historical wheat yields and thus higher PLC payment yields. For Illinois farmers, payment expectations are slightly higher than the national average, but vary by region. Average payment levels across Illinois are estimated at $67 for corn base acres, $41 for soybean base acres, and $60 for wheat base acres. The largest projected corn and soybean payments are concentrated in southern Illinois, where yield performance was weaker relative to benchmark levels compared to the central and northern parts of the state. Projected wheat payments are generally larger in northern Illinois, although wheat base acreage is smaller in this part of Illinois compared to the southern half of the state. Even though these projections are based on the best information currently available, they are not final. The Farm Service Agency will ultimately determine the official county yields used for payment calculations, and those FS yields can differ from the NAS yields used to inform these estimates. In addition, while the 2025 marketing year has ended and the wheat price is known, the final marketing year average prices for corn and soybeans will not be known until their marketing years conclude in August. Changes in either the yields or prices could still alter payment amounts before they become official. In summary, current projections suggest meaningful commodity title support from the ARC and PLC programs for the 2025 crop year, with average payments estimated at $58 per acre for corn, $29 for soybeans, and $47 for wheat. While final numbers won't be known until official FSA yields and all final market year prices are released, these estimates provide farmers with an early look at the potential levels of support they might receive this fall in October.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Inflation remains elevated relative to the committee's 2% goal, in part reflecting supply shocks that have driven price increases in certain sectors, including energy.
Speaking publicly for the first time as the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, Kevin Warsh.
My own judgment is the committee spent quite a bit of time, not just in 2 days, but over iterations of a couple of weeks. That's what we're prepared to say about inflation, but the commitment to deliver is strong, unanimous, and unambiguous. And that's, I think, an important message. We've missed for 5 years, and we're going to fix that. I'll say this generally. Most of the data that central bankers and other government officials in the United States consume come with old-fashioned survey methods. A national accounts of what the U.S. economy looks like that looks very little like the U.S. economy in 2026. Survey methods that don't have response rates that we need, asking questions that might have been quite applicable a generation ago that are less applicable now. So even inside of official statistics, I would be open-minded if the task force and our own best thinking had recommendations how those official statistics can be brought up to a standard of our time using new analytic methods. I'd also say this. Almost every private company CEO that's running his or her business are doing so with real-time information that isn't subject to much revision, that is telling them what just happened at that very moment. As you know, there are normal, long and variable lags in the conduct of monetary policy. What we're really interested in is what's happening right now. What we're less interested in is echoes of history. And you're hearing from my answer that some of the data that we receive, that we're waiting on, the first Friday after the month, the payroll index or something else, that might be an echo of history that's quite useful on its third revision. We need to take those error bounds down because we have to make hard decisions in real time. I'm really open-minded that there is a lot of new data sources that we can learn from the private sector, from reforms in the official sector, and new analytic techniques that are far more refined than asking a simple question about whether something was core or non-core. So I think financial markets perform best when they react to incoming data. I think the financial markets work less efficiently when they ask a question, how will the Federal Reserve react to that incoming information? The more that markets are paying attention to what's happening in the real economy, deciding what's good data and what's less good data, the more financial markets can price what they believe is the most likely and what are the tail risks. Financial market prices are probably the most important source of information to guide central bankers. But when all the financial markets are doing is reflecting back what we've said, then we're taking the most important source of information and we're being blind to it. I'd like us to create a system where those blinders come off, where markets are following data that they efficiently think is reliable, and they'll be watching data, we'll be watching data. They'll come with better information through market prices to us. We can make more informed decisions. With ultimately the goal that I said at the outset, deliver on the price stability objective that Congress told us to do and that we've got to get in the business of doing.
The new chairman of the Federal Reserve, Kevin Warsh. It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Number one, what I want to assure everyone is that our food supply is safe.
Looking at New World screwworm and dairies. Kansas State Dairy Specialist, Dr. Mike Brook.
So we have inspection programs in place, both on the meat side as well as on the milk side, that keep our food supplies safe. So there's no danger to the safety of the food that you're buying in the grocery store or other places. Since early June, we've had now, as of this recording, 4 total cases identified and confirmed in the U.S. 2 of those involved calves, 1 dog, and also 1 goat. All of these are confined at this point to southern Texas. And really, we've been expecting that we would need to deal with this for some time, as the screwworms have slowly moved from southern Mexico closer to the United States. And in fact, some of the models predicted that we would actually see an infestation here in the United States as early as last summer. The various control methods that we utilize have been fairly effective in slowing the spread, and we know how to deal with this. We've dealt with it before, and we will eradicate it from our production systems here in the United States, but it will take some time. I want to impress on everybody that this is an infestation of an insect. It's not an infection situation. These larvae are flesh-eating, so the maggots, you'll find those in wounds or body cavity openings of animals. This could be cattle, it could be sheep, it could be pets, it could even be humans as well. So what do you need to watch for if you're a producer? Well, number one, wounds that are enlarging. Normally they would be healing, but they just continue to drain and seem to be enlarging. You also maybe see maggots in that wound or body cavity. Animal will display pain or discomfort and will have poor performance. If you notice any of these signs, please contact your local veterinarian and get the animal checked out. So the vet will have at his or her disposal many different treatment options, and they're very effective. It's not very difficult to treat the wound, but it needs to be treated and it needs to also be reported. So as we look at our major control methods that we need to practice as producers, number one is just general fly control, as you always do. Animal observation, so observing animals that might have wounds or calves that have maybe just been born, the umbilical cord area can be an issue as well. And on a higher level, our method of control of the female flies and spread of those is actually through the release of sterile male flies. The other thing that causes major spread issues for us is transport of animal or people from an infected area to a non-infected area. If we do find the screwworm larvae, there's going to be a quarantine zone set up to control the movement of animals and people, mostly animals, out of that area. Is this something we're going to be dealing with for a little while? Yes, I think so. It will take a little bit of time to get to a point where we do not find any new animals infested with the maggots. Frost will be our friend. That basically stops the reproduction of these flies. So once we get to colder temperatures this fall, our threat here in Kansas should be greatly diminished. And we may not face another issue next year, but it just kind of depends on the control of the flies in the southern areas of the United States.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.